The opinions expressed in the following podcast are for general informational purposes only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual or on any specific security or investment product. It is only intended to provide education and entertainment about the financial industry and the stock market. Enjoy.
This episode is brought to you by Benzinga. Benzinga is our absolute favorite resource to use when we trade. We use it for news scanners. We use it for float checkers. We use it for stock screening. We use it for just about everything, including chat rooms and much, much more. But that's not all they have. They have YouTube as well. Hot Stocks Luke every single day has great guests on, ranging from Ripster to Mia Khalifa to Gary to all the best guests you need to hear from every single day, all day long. So make sure to go check that out. That's youtube.com/Benzinga. And if you look in the replies to this tweet, you will see how to get a discount code for Benzinga Pro. Make sure to go sign up for Benzinga Pro right now. Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today, we discuss trading an entire market pullback.
Find out life's this game of pennies.
Oh, you guys know we only have a 40% runner. Hello? 40% right is a f***ing killing.
We've been compliant for too long. It's time we go to war.
I don't have a Roth.
Q knows so much about the market that his brain doesn't have enough room for grammar.
Hey, who told me about IDEX? It's going up a shit ton now.
We're up 4%, baby.
No way.
4%.
You asked the exact same question with two words different.
It's like, f*** man, I just got dick whipped for like 20%, and now that f***er's up like 50.
I bet Warren Buffett never did that.
I'm just making this voice memo to call out unusual whales to a fight.
The pennies we need are everywhere around us.
Pennies.
Going in raw.
Featuring Dan, Deity of Dips,
and Hugh Honey.
Produced by Vinny.
And Christian.
Let's go, baby.
Welcome back to another episode of Pennies Going in Raw. Today is Wednesday, July 21st. And I mean, the week started out on Monday, naturally. And right as it opened, it seemed like the market was reacting to everything from LA masks again to all this COVID coming out, like COVID round two. We went from Corona, now we got Delta. We had beers, now we have airlines. It was massive this right as the morning started. But if you added dips, and it was hard to tell because it looked like it could have kept going, but it bounced pretty hard, not all the way red to green on everything. But I mean, a lot of swings that took really big hits did bounce back.
Yeah, pretty much everything that I was watching pretty much bounced back. And I mean, things still added down red across the board on blue chips. But personally, I felt like today was the day to, add a few blue chips. I didn't go crazy with it, but I tweeted about it that I was looking to add into Amazon for the longer term options for the end of the year. And so I bought about a third of position today. You know, we talked that we needed like 20, 30 points on SPY, which 2 or 3 years ago would have been a pretty big percentage point. But now it's like, 2 or 3% back, and that's a good enough of a pullback. And we pretty much got that today. We came right to the 50-day moving average, which is where we've bounced every single other time. So this is the time to where we can keep buying this dip, because although everyone's talking about the COVID variant, I mean the Delta variant, we could very well Thursday come out with a press release saying that the variant's significantly less deadly, that the money printer is going to go burr for another 2 years, and we could be back at 440s on SPY hitting all-time highs. So for me, this comes down to the saying that we like here on this show. I like to get off the bus 5 stops. What is it? 2 stops too late.
It's you. Okay, first of all, it's your saying. Yeah. It is not mine. And your saying is, I'd like to get off the bus 1 stop too late than 3 stops too early.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks,
which
buddy.
Essentially what he means is he'd rather sell after it hits super high and it dips a little bit than sell far, far, far too early when there's still a lot of run up that could potentially mm-hmm. happen.
So for me, I'm going to continue to buy the dips on the market, especially the market, until I really see some failed follow through, or we see some like legitimate headlines, because at this point, who the hell knows? The Delta variant might even become bullish, you know, for the market. And I don't mean that from like
what?
Yeah, I mean, think about it. If the Delta variant becomes
like, it didn't cause much downside in the market, but them announcing that it's not that bad could create more of a bullish standpoint on the market as a whole.
I'm saying actually the opposite, if headlines start to come out that the Delta variant is increasing, then the market might take that as a bullish, because that would mean that the money printer would essentially continue to keep printing, that this would be a new reason for more money and for the Fed to continue to print. So in that perspective, you know, the market might see the Delta variant as a good thing, or not as a good thing. That's not what I mean.
More stimulus. Yeah, no. Yeah. But so you're kind of banking on money printer and potentially even more stimulus checks to make it a bullish indicator for the market.
Yeah. So that's why I'm going to continue to buy this dip, especially at the 50-day moving average. It's bounced there for the last year pretty much. So I'm going to continue to buy that dip until fundamentally something changes, or we see real failed follow through. And I'm talking like a 5-6% red day to where like, but then again, that comes back to the sentiment would probably change, and there would probably be a catalyst behind that, like raised interest rates or something that would fundamentally change the market. So that's why I added into Amazon. I added a little bit of Disney today, the options. And the other thing is that for the small cap world, I know that we all woke up really, really, really freaking red inside the small cap world. Like I there was a lot of things red, but this is actually a really great day for a few things. On days like today is when you can kind of see what's being loaded. And I'm not talking about like your favorite FURU. I'm talking about like what stocks, if stocks are green inside this tape like they were today, where you can see those names that have the strength. And I'm not talking ones with news. I'm talking stocks that were up 10, 15% or even 5% inside this tape, and they had no news. Those are the stocks where you can see, okay, there's real strength there. You know, if the market's up 2%, you know, and you look at a small cap and it's up 5%, you won't think anything about it. But if a stock is up 10% while the entire small cap market is down 10%, that is when, you know, your kind of alert goes up like, hey, why is this up? And usually to me, that's a sign that someone's trying to get in there and someone's pushing this up because they're trying to buy it. And again, I'm not talking about your favorite FURU. I'm talking about like somebody is buying like 9% of the company, you know, like somebody knows something kind of thing. So that's what I love on these super big red days across the small cap market, is really looking for those anomalies. Because when you start to look at them a little bit and you start to see like, okay, what's going on here? So it kind of opens up it kind of makes everything a little more transparent on days like today, because you won't think about it if the entire small cap market is up 5%. But the things that are up 5, 10% today, those are the ones that you want to look into, because they have relative strength. In fact, they're very strength, because some of my swings, I think my IRA was down 6% at one point today.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's a good point to kind of think about what, you know, we mainly want to talk about, which is you saw them, a lot of them up, you know, green at the end of the day, including like Wish, I believe even closed green today. And you saw it this morning Monday, drop down to around 870 to a real big supply zone under 9. And I think one of the big questions for a lot of these new traders is, whenever the market is pulling back as a whole, with your swings especially, you know, when do you think it's a good time to add? Do you wait? I mean, or you want to get on that bus one stop too late? Because if you get on it one stop too early,
yeah,
That bitch could go in reverse for another 2 miles,
yeah,
you know, and then crash.
Yeah, no, you're right. So I think we talked about actually on Sunday, but I usually take the method of I scale in after I see confirmation. Now, if I see one of my swings down, like I have a few low floaters that are just like they have like a million outstanding shares. So they opened up today like down like 15%, because all it took was like 10,000 shares to like tank them. So on those kind of flushes where it's like 15%, and I know the personality, I know why it's down 15%. I know that it's an overreaction, it's emotions. Those are the times where I'll just add. Everything else, you know, I just kind of keep a few that like I think will eventually go. Everything else to where I'm like really scaling into swings, you wait for support. Okay. You identify support and resistance. You let it come down to support. You let it curl back up. And then that's when you start to scale in. That gives you such better risk to reward. Okay. And I'll be like, I did add to things today, but I mean, I didn't go nuts. I mean, SPY was down 2%. What happens if SPY is down 6%? You know, SPY goes down 5% tomorrow. Then we're all going to be like running around with our heads loose. So, and my rule of thumb is I always keep cash no matter what on the sideline. So I don't want to go crazy on the first sight of red.
Yeah, I think that's another good point is how much cash you currently have on hand. Like right now, yeah. I think I'm 80 to 85%, not because I'm super scared or anything. It's just as of right now, I mean, day trading seems to work out a lot better. And, you know, those days where you just, I don't like to climb out day trading of being red from my swings when it's just not a swinger's market. I like my swings to provide cushion for me, not to start me off with a handicap.
I actually have less cash than I usually like right now. And that's because I'm scaled into like a larger position, actually just for like the week. When I used to trade at a fund, I used to trade arbitrage. So it was a little different. So you were looking for different risk to reward. You know, you go heavier, but you're only looking for 60 bips, which is, you know, let's call it like equivalent to like 1%. So I actually only have about 20% in cash right now. But once I'm done with that, I'll have closer to about 35% in cash. And I mean, I want to use that, but also I know myself and I know that, you know, how slow August does get. And I mean, I'm already itching for like a runner and I haven't had a runner in a while. So for me, I know that I need to dial back my position sizes because we still have 6 weeks till September. So if I start going crazy and I start trying to size into a position, I mean, I know myself, I'll take a big loss and I will give up my month. It even came close today to me giving up my month at one point. And then I ended the day green. So, you know, the way that I'm going to handle it is that my position sizes are going to become smaller. I'm going to have, you know, sprinkle a little more money around, but smaller position sizes, except on one or two swings that I just love, that I'll go heavy on those one or two swings and I'll manage them great. And, you know, those will be my babies. Besides that, it'll be cutting things fast, small position sizes. It's going to be about preserving capital for me for the next 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. I know you mentioned a few times, what if you wake up tomorrow and the market's down 5 or 6%, but we know, I believe it's 7.5% would make the entire market halt down. Like we saw a few times last March, where everything started tanking like crazy. Let's say you woke up today or tomorrow, you saw it down 5.5%. It opens, it halts down by 9:35 a.m. How are you playing that? Because I mean, the way we saw it last time, it opened and then almost immediately crashed again like 30 minutes later. Just was immediate selling pressure.
Yeah. So I was actually like a real big nerd at that moment. I was like calling my mom and I was like, "Mom, turn on the TV. This is huge. This is history right here." And she's like, "What? Like, what do you like? Is something going on? Like, did something happen?" And I'm like, "Yes, this is this is monumental." And she just, she's calling me a crazy person. But for me, like I didn't even care that my portfolio was tanking because I was just happy to be there in the moment for history. I was inside like my college house. So I was like super excited. I'd like waking everybody up at like 10 a.m. You know, it was great. It was great stuff. But the way that I would handle it now, because at that moment I was like, "Oh my God. Oh my God."
Yeah, I was at work. I was like, "Yo, the market just halted down a couple times."
Yeah, I'm feeling like I'm in like fucking like let me see, like the Big Short or something. Like I was ready for the helicopter to like get me in there, you know.
I was down like $1,200 of like my $3,000 account that day. It was not good. Like I was telling people at work, they're like, "That's why I don't mess with that stuff."
Yeah. Yeah, no, and yeah, that's when everyone comes out. "I told you so. I told you so. But for me, the way that I would handle it now is that for me personally, I do have like a certain, like there, I do have a breaking point. Like I know that there's tons of traders who just are inside the mindset of like conviction. And again, there's a few swings that I will have conviction with, but if the sentiment of the market changes and, you know, like let's say for instance, like interest rates rise, but interest rates don't just rise like 25 bips, like they really rise. I mean, they really raise interest rates and the market just starts, you know, I mean, like let's call it like a deck of cards. Well, at that point, that's when I would probably just go cash besides one or two positions. Because if the market's halting down, there has to be a change in sentiment and there has to be a change inside the catalyst. Unless, you know what I mean? Like they're just, I can't see the market going down 6 to 7%.
Without something, you know, obviously the market's not taking like a near 10% dip off of nothing, but
yeah. So I would evaluate it based on that.
Yeah, it would cut because you got to think if something where we trade drops 7% in a day, it's usually either bad news or if it's not, that's an overreaction.
Yeah.
It would take a whole lot of overreaction to cause a SPY halt down.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And actually, with the thing with the market is that, holy fuck. ARDX is down 80%.
Yeah, like even as we're talking about this right now, as we're talking about something dropping a lot, we're seeing, and like we said, this is Monday. It's around 4:30, 30 minutes after the market close. ARDX, I think it came out with some deficiency in their product, and it just dropped from $7.70 and is now sitting around 180, down 76% in a matter of minutes. So, yeah, I guess,
you know, I'll be honest, there's always that moment where I look at like ARDX or like Saba when Saba had that horrible data readout. I think it was like last year and it opened from like 11 down to 2. There's always those like moments where I kind of get like that pit in my stomach and I'm like, well, I start checking my portfolio like every 2 seconds. You know, it's kind of like
I got to make sure I don't have that shit.
Yeah. You know, like you kind of sit there and you it's like that. It's like when you get one bug bite and now you think that there's bug bites all over the place. That's how I feel when I see something like that. That's really sad for holders. but yeah, for as far as the market goes, there would need to be a real sentiment shift or a catalyst. And in that time, I would reevaluate everything. And the truth of it is that you should always have risk management to a point to where even if half of your stocks were down 15%, you shouldn't be margined and you shouldn't be so much of your portfolio that you're overexposed that it would that would blow you up. Like for me, my risk management at this point, I know that even if that were to happen, that yes, my portfolio would take a massive hit. I do know that. But even if it took a massive hit like that, I could still come back from it. It would take a few months probably, but it wouldn't blow me up. And that's the name of the game. Like at this point, it's about making it to the next day. And so if the market did halt down, I would assume at this moment, it would either be one of three things. A natural disaster similar to like a terrorist attack. COVID.
Yeah, 9/11. I don't even think the market opened because that happened at like 7:30.
No, the market was closed. Well, the market, they stopped the market for the next day. COVID. You know, a natural disaster similar to a terrorist attack or interest rates. They just came out and say interest rates.
You do know a terrorist attack is not a natural disaster. There's no nature involved in people fucking blowing shit up.
Well, no, but I mean, you would call it a natural. I mean, like when the.
No, you wouldn't. That is not what a natural disaster is.
Yes. Yes. Look it up.
No.
Look it up.
I'm going to. Natural disaster. Okay, this includes severe thunderstorms, flash floods, snowstorms, hurricanes, and tornadoes. Bitch.
Yeah, but you don't just call it. Hang on. Oh, fine.
The natural means nature.
Dude, I understand what nature is.
Okay, well, terrorists aren't fucking growing on apple trees. Natural disaster terrorist attack. Yeah, I'm like 99% sure these are completely separate things.
Yeah, okay. So we could call it a state of emergency.
There we go.
A state of emergency from a natural disaster or a terrorist attack. Is that better?
Yeah. So basically, natural disasters, COVID, like epidemics and terrorist attacks.
State just of emergency.
Major things.
Yeah.
You're basically, if it is a halt down and there is not the same thing on every fucking news channel, it's an overreaction.
Yeah. That's the way that I'm going to play. And again, though, is that my risk management at this point, like I'm not buying 90% of my account in like spy options, end of day. Like that's not my game. That's never going to be my game. So even if I were to be wrong again, it still wouldn't blow me up. Again, it would hurt. But at this point, my risk management, I like to keep my risk management tight. I like to keep it clean. So I'm not going to do anything stupid.
Yeah, I actually have never been able to say in advance whether or not I'll be able or do something stupid, because like I have a good track record of doing so. However, moving forward, I know we were talking about earlier, it doesn't seem like there's ever been like money printing going on like this before. What is exactly do you think that means for kind of the future? Is it to a point where we just won't be able to, if we get into like a real shitty like pandemic where there's Delta variant and then the United variant and then the Spirit variant, and you know, there's lockdowns for 2 years, we can't just keep pumping out stimulus checks?
Okay, so here's the thing with inflation, is that I think we touched on it Sunday, was that I personally believe that we're at between 5 to 7. Yeah, 5 to 7, probably on the lower end of that, maybe 5 or 6. But, you know, I'm not an economist.
Economist?
Yeah, economist. That's right. So I believe that we're at 5 or 6, but, you know, I'll say 5 to 7 per range to keep it simple. If we were to increase the amount of money that we're printing, I mean, we would be at 10 fairly quickly. So I don't believe that even if the Delta variant was to pick up numbers, I honestly don't know if they would shut the country down again. I don't know if they would be able to, because the impact that would have on the economy as a whole would probably be detrimental, because we can't continue to print stupid amounts of money. Like, we should be done printing by Q1, Q2 of next year latest. And that's just the truth. Like, we probably will need to raise interest rates by Q1 or Q2 of next year. And that's just a fact. Like, that's like, we can't continue at this trajectory. So if Delta did increase, I don't think we could lock down. If we did lock down and we did start to print money and we did up the amount of money that we were printing, I mean, I've never really been genuinely concerned about inflation. At that point, I would start to be concerned, like to the point to where like I would be thinking about other options.
Yeah, I don't think many 22-year-olds are awfully too concerned about inflation as a whole, but you're a different breed. However, like you said, he is not an economist. He's not an economist.
You made me sound so stupid all the time.
But on the bright side, our friends at Polymarket is an information markets platform built on the blockchain that lets users trade on the probabilities of future events. One of the markets on their platform is an inflation market, tracking what inflation will be like in July. Traders are currently pricing at 66% chance that inflation will be 0.6% or more. And you can use pennies to get your first trade reimbursed up to $100. That is code pennies for your first code reimbursed for $100. And that is Polymarket, P-O-L-Y, market. And y'all heard it. $100 reimbursement in your first trade. Hell, I know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go all in, $100. And if I lose, I'm gonna do it again for free.
Hey, I'll do 99. I'm not as ballsy as you.
Yeah, well, you'll still have a free. Well, I mean, it's getting all the way reimbursed, you know? So it's like, what do we have to lose? You know, I know we mentioned this, you know, a few weeks ago. We talked about splits and reverse splits, but NVDA, NVIDIA, they have a split coming up. I think it may even be tomorrow on Tuesday. And it genuinely seems like these splits are always, always, always bullish unless they're a reverse split in small caps where you saw with like AHT just tanked. And then, but you see Tesla, Amazon, or Tesla, Apple, and now this just soaring after a split, forward split.
Yeah. So the NVIDIA split, so I have mixed opinions. Okay. First being two things. One, I do believe it's good for the company because the company made huge fundamental strides inside the past year. They've really done some incredible work to really start to edge out and become the main main horse and really edging out of Intel. So with that being said, they've made some really great progress. But this is the but, is that the stock has effectively almost doubled since March 1st. Like March 1st, the stock has almost doubled. Let's even give it like a 70% gain. It's done about 70% gain, which is a massive, okay? The other thing is that with this fundamental change inside the company, it almost feels like this is a little premature. I understand that the stock's $800 a share and that they want to get it cheaper. But for me, what I would want to see is that I would want to see another year of really increased fundamentals and really solid balance sheets so that you could then say, okay, we're doing this stock split. We're going to get the price down and, you know, you can feel good about this because look at our balance sheet for the past, you know, 3 years. Where right now it's kind of like, hey, it's kind of like new. It's kind of like, it feels a little early to me personally. The other thing is that the first one is the saying that like the first inside the theme always goes the farthest, I believe is true. And I'm talking about Tesla and I'm talking about specifically Tesla and Apple here. They were kind of the first to really do the split inside the modern era. And I'm talking about like, you know, recently. And I mean, Disney, of course, but they were the first to really do it. And so they're going to see, they're the guinea pigs, but they're also going to have usually the best return. It's kind of like when the first theme inside bio goes, that one always goes the farthest, or the first weed always goes the highest. And then the ones that follow do well, but maybe people, you know, take profits a little bit faster. Maybe people, you know, try and get on the horse earlier and they bet heavier because it's a sympathy. Do you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, no, I mean, a lot of times people are playing the sympathies, and the sympathies only got volume because the main one ran and they're just day trading it. And those flippers are going to prevent like a major run. But the major news, you know, a lot of those investors are going to keep holding it on the main one, you know, regardless. So, I mean, there's going to be less selling except for the people that end up chasing. So it makes complete sense, which is, I think, is a good transition to our final topic, which is, you know, with all this COVID stuff coming back, it seems, and then you saw like food delivery plays kind of getting some love today and like the Zooms in it. I'm like, holy shit, is this March 2020 all over again? Do I need to get the sheet of what ran in March and April and May and follow it precisely? Or... because, I mean, dude, I'll be honest. I don't really want to play like waiter and all these food delivery and then IBIO and then fucking vaccines. It's just a lot.
Dude, I would love to play IBIO for another 1,000%.
Oh, yeah, 1,000%. Sure.
I would love that. But I think right now, the way that I'm handling everything is that I'm taking it slow. This year wasn't as good. I mean, this year percentage wise is nowhere near last year, but this year has still been a fairly well good year. And so I'm not going to over leverage. I'm not going to make any crazy bets on which way I think things are going to play out. I'm going to be the guy who, you know, I'll wait until there's confirmation and then I'll go heavy. So even if everybody's in 10% before me, that's okay. I'm okay with that. Because for me, going into the rest of the year, until we see some more stability across across, you know, I'm talking about COVID until we see some stability across like the airlines. Yeah, I'm talking about all everything. I'm going to play in the preserve my capital and to really think of it like, okay, this has been a great year and it's not over. But right now, if the summer slows down and then, you know, we get into September and all of a sudden now the Delta variant picks up, then I'm going to be playing it like, okay, we're back to these games like we were last March where it was like, you know, one day we have to wear hazmat suits and then the next day everything's being saved. Like I hated that. I hated that up and down constantly.
My favorite part of last March was everyone be like, oh, this stock's going to go 1,000%. Like, oh, UAVS is going to go 1,000%. Oh, Waiter's going to go 1,000%. Oh, IBI is going to go 1,000%. And sure as shit, they all did.
Yeah.
But nowadays, it's like if you have everyone on Twitter and StockTwit saying it's going to go 1,000%, oh my God, you better get out.
Yeah.
Because it's not.
Yeah. I mean, right now, it feels like anything that's retail crowded isn't doing well. That's what it feels like right now. And so with that being said, I think it's really important to understand that, you know, the market's ever evolving. And especially if you're a COVID trader, you know, you probably saw the most consistent market ever. And the most consistent market. And not only was it a consistent market for the longest period of time, it was also the best market. Like everything was running. So that's kind of like a double-edged sword. Like, hey, yeah, it was a great opportunity to make great money, but it also conditioned us for one, everything goes boom and we just move sector to sector. Two, it conditioned us for just buy and hold. It'll go eventually. It'll go 1,000% eventually.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, I think like SPAQ, before it was Fisker, was kind of like a bet. Like it had that crazy pop after it finally bottomed out at 9, where it didn't look like it was going to revive. It did not look like it was going to be saved. A lot of people got their asses saved on that one. And like ONTX going from $1.20 to 30 cents to back to $1.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And so my perspective right now is that small cats have been on fire for like what feels like forever. And so I actually wouldn't mind a small little reset across small caps throughout the rest of the year. Kind of like a shakeout the small caps. Now, that being said, if small caps, you know, get super hot to where like things start running like crazy again, hey, I'll be there. But I'm not going to say, I'm not going to make a guess and plan for that until, you know, it's a deciding factor. And even then, it'll probably still change. But inside the right now, my thing is going to be like, okay, I could go from 40% cash to 100% on, 40% on the street to 100% on the street at any day, any moment. And that's the way that I'll plan it. Like, I'm okay with that. I'm going to have 1-2 swings that I feel great about, that I will have conviction with, and everything else, I'm going to play it day by day. I'm not going to take the rest of the year and try and kill myself to make another 10% of my book.
All right. And that's that. And there you have it, boys. Another episode of Pennies Going In Raw. We're happy you joined us. Make sure to leave that 5-star review on Apple iTunes and a like and subscribe on any other one such as Spotify. We love you all and hope you have green days in the market for your days to come. XOXO, peace and blessings.